Habakkuk chapter 2, just one verse, verse 4. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. We ask for understanding. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be at work here in our minds and our hearts, helping us to grasp the meaning of this passage of Scripture and see how it applies to our lives, how it should affect our thinking and our speaking and our acting. Lord, I pray that you would take your word and that you would work it into the hearts of each and every person here for your glory and for their good. In Jesus' name, amen. How shall we live our lives? What principles should be at the core of what is driving our lives? Everybody lives in a particular way, and there are certain things that are driving that way of life. Certain ideas, beliefs, certain way of looking at the world, principles that reside in the heart from which a person is living. What should the guiding principle of our lives be? Our lives are all lived according to something. There is at the root of our lives beliefs, ideas that drive how we live and our behavior. What is that principle of life for the Christian? It's faith. It's that principle of faith, of trust in God and in His Word. Christians are people of faith. That is to say, we live by our trust in God and in His revelation, which is the Bible, His Word. The Apostle John says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Paul the Apostle tells us that faith is one of those three cardinal virtues of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Obviously, Paul says there that the greatest one of those virtues, those ways in which Christians live, is love. But right there in the three cardinal virtues is faith, trust in God. And the author of Hebrews teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have no hope of pleasing God, of doing what is pleasing in God's sight, apart from or without faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you can see over and over in the New Testament that emphasis upon faith as that principle, as that virtue, we might call it, by which Christians live. Now, where did that come from? Was that invented in the New Testament? Did the authors or writers of the New Testament invent the idea that we ought to live by faith? No, that idea actually comes from the Old Testament. And we'll see tonight, as we look at Habakkuk 2:4, that the Lord instructs his prophet in this very thing. How does the righteous man, the righteous woman, how do they live? What's driving that life? What's driving that life is faith. The righteous lives by faith. We are here in Habakkuk 2:4, and what we've got here is a basic contrast, right, between two types of people and what characterizes them. And we began by thinking about the person that's described at the top half of the verse, and that is the proud person. So let's read that again. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. That basically means that the proud person, the person who lives according to pride, is the person who is unrighteous. Their soul is crooked and not right with God and not right before God. Now, in the context of the book of Habakkuk, that would be the Babylonians, right? That would be the Chaldeans, those who have, those who are puffed up in pride as they attribute their success in battle and warfare to themselves as they sweep through areas and conquer peoples. Now, on the other side of this is the just person or the righteous person. So there's a contrast between these two that we talked about last time. The righteous one is someone who lives by faith. And so these two are basically opposites. The proud man is unrighteous before God. The righteous man is the one who lives by faith, by trusting in the Lord. Okay, so we looked at the proud man first last week. Now we want to flip the coin over and look at the other side. And we want to look tonight at the just and how they are to live. Now, we've got quite a bit to cover here. You say, Pastor Nick, there's not much there. That's true. However, we need to talk about what this means and how we apply it to our lives. And then in the weeks ahead, maybe next week and the following week, we need to talk about how the New Testament draws on and uses Habakkuk 2:4 so that we get the full picture of what this means, what this important central text means in the book of the prophet Habakkuk. So tonight we're going to focus on something that we've pretty much already touched upon as we've gone through our studies in the book of Habakkuk, but it's worth repeating again. And I hope it's not boring for you. I hope I don't bore you. I hope you'll see just how important and how relevant it is that we think about the just living by faith and how that applies to your life and to mine. And then next week, we'll start talking about how the Apostle Paul uses Habakkuk 2:4 in Romans 1, in Galatians 3, and how the author of Hebrews uses it in chapter 10. Now, first, let's get some definitions going here, right? The latter half of the verse says, but the just shall live by his faith. So we're dealing here with the just person, and that would be man or woman, of course. The just. What would be another word for that instead of just? Righteous, yes. Righteous. So we use those two words interchangeably. When we're talking about the just person, we're talking about the righteous person. In Hebrew, this is tzaddik. Tzaddik refers to the one who is just before God, the one who is righteous. Now, who is this just or righteous person that the Lord is referring to here in Habakkuk? Well, let's go back to chapter 1 now, and let's see where this righteous person is spoken of before. Okay, chapter 1 and verse 4, here the prophet is describing what things are like in Israel. Things are bad. And let's look at his description again. Verse 4, therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround who? The righteous, the tzaddik. Or drop down to verse number 13 of chapter 1. Habakkuk, speaking to the Lord, says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously, and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Tzaddik. The one who is righteous. So who's Habakkuk talking about, or who's the Lord talking about here in his message to the prophet Habakkuk? Well, this would be the righteous within Judah. Those who truly belong to the Lord, those who truly live by faith are the righteous ones. And that would include the prophet Habakkuk, as well as anyone else in Judah that is truly righteous before God. Of course, that statement in Hebrews, in Habakkuk 2:4 rather, is true of any one of the people of God in any time period. But here in the original context, we're talking about the righteous in Judah. Next, we've got a description of the just person. The just, first of all, shall live. He shall live by his faith. What is the meaning of that? Well, there's a lot packed into that word live, that idea of life. What does it mean to say that the righteous person lives by his faith? Well, first of all, we can understand that in terms of how somebody lives their life, how they conduct their lives. He does what he does, the righteous man, because he trusts in God and in his word. Life can also refer to that state of spiritual life, of being in communion or fellowship with God. To believe God, to have faith in God, is to be in fellowship with him and thus to be truly alive, right? Remember the connection in the New Testament that Jesus makes between the one who believes, he has what? He has eternal life. He possesses eternal life through faith. We can also see this statement in light of what Habakkuk said back in chapter 1, verse 12. The prophet asks, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not, what? Die." So the prophet is expecting that God is going to be faithful to his promises and that the people of God are not going to be wiped out. They're not going to be completely destroyed because God must be true to the promises that he made previously to the people of God. And that's true. That righteous person will live. They will not die. They will not be wiped out. Life, of course, is also something that's eternal, as we talked about a moment ago. The one who lives by faith is the one who possesses eternal life, life in the truest sense, in the fullest sense. Now let's move on to the final part there of the statement. But the just shall live, how? By his faith. By his faith. This is how the righteous person lives his life. And this is the way in which someone in full and proper fellowship with God lives. He lives by faith. All right. Now let's do a little bit of Hebrew here. Faith here. Now I was going to write this in Hebrew on the board, but my Hebrew writing skills are rather poor. So I started to do it, and then I thought, okay, I won't do that. So I won't torment you with that tonight. I'll transliterate it. Take it out of Hebrew, put it into English, okay? Emunah. Emunah. Something like that, okay? The righteous or the just lives by emunah. Let's get a couple of examples here of how this word is used in the Old Testament so you can see or get the full sense of the meaning of this important term that's here in chapter 2, verse 4. Okay, so keep your finger here in Habakkuk, and let's go to Lamentations. Lamentations, which is right after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 to 23. And you know this text. You say, "Pastor, it's been a long time since I turned to Lamentations." Okay, fair enough. But you know this text, okay? Verse 22, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, emunah." Okay? So many times, in fact, probably most of the time in the Old Testament, the word is translated faithfulness. Okay? Now, it's translated faith here in Habakkuk 2:4, but if you see that word in other places in the Old Testament, you'll often see it rendered this. It has that idea of loyalty, of reliability, consistency, or we could say faithfulness. Now, in this example that we just looked at, we've got it describing God. What is God like? God is faithful. His faithfulness is something that the people of God can count on, something that is new every morning, along with his mercies and his compassion. It is great. God's faithfulness is great. All right, let's look at another example here. And this example will be describing a human being. So this is Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 20. Proverbs 28, verse 20. "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." That word, faithful, emunah. Okay, now here it's describing a person who is faithful or reliable in how they are conducting themselves, And the previous one was about God. This one was about man. But you see that translation of faithfulness again. So now back to Habakkuk. Back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. So someone might say, okay, well, which one is it? Is it faith or is it faithful? What's the right way to think about Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4? Well, the first thing we should recognize is there is a good deal of overlap between these words, right? So for one to be truly faithful to God in the Old Testament, one must have faith, right? One must believe God, must trust in God, must put their confidence in God's word. I won't make you turn to this one, but let me give you another example of a similar word that's used that gives us this idea of belief being at the heart or the root of this Hebrew term. And this is Genesis 15:6. I'll read this one to you. This is speaking of Abraham. And it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." That word for believe there with Abraham is a word that's very similar and directly connected to that word in Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word aman. So what is Abraham doing? Abraham is putting his trust in the Lord. He's believing God's word, and God credits that or counts righteousness to Abraham as a result of that act of faith. So, what are we talking about here in Habakkuk 2:4? I believe this is the right translation. Faith. We're talking about trust and belief in God and in His Word. Now, if you're in chapter 2 still, if you'll back up just a little bit to verse 2. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Remember we said, what we said about that was God was asking or calling upon the prophet to wait for the fulfillment of the word of God. And what does that waiting require? It requires this. And in so doing, the prophet is demonstrating faithfulness by trusting in the Lord, putting his confidence in the word of God that it's going to come to pass, that it's going to be fulfilled in the appointed time. So at the heart of what the Lord is talking about here is trust or belief in him and in his word, and that is an expression of true faithfulness. At the root of any faithfulness or loyalty on our part to God is faith itself, is that trust in God, that belief in Him and in His Word. So here's our first lesson tonight from Habakkuk 2:4. This is how God wants us to live. He wants us to live a life of faith. And a life of faith is the faithful life. It is a life of faithfulness to God. Without faith, it's impossible to have this. You cannot be faithful to God without this. So again, if you can think about this like the tree. Okay, there's your tree. And you can maybe think about the tree with its trunk, its branches, its leaves, and all those things, and its fruit as the expressions that come from the roots that are faith. Faith is the root from which this faithfulness comes. Now, this will be important when we get to the New Testament, because we shouldn't understand Habakkuk 2:4 to be saying that the righteous man lives by his obedience to God, or the righteous man lives by his faithfulness to God. We should understand Habakkuk 2:4 to be saying the righteous man lives by faith, by his trust in the Lord, from which faithfulness ultimately comes. Now, what does this have to do with Habakkuk and with us? Why does the Lord say to him, the just shall live by his faith. Well, think about what Habakkuk has been doing here so far in the book. Let's now go back to chapter 1 and verse 2. Chapter 1 and verse 2. The prophet says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. What's he talking about? Things are terrible. Things are terrible in Judah, in Israel. And God, you're not doing anything about it. You have not intervened to change the situation or to fix it. I've been calling out to you. I've been praying, and you have not answered. What is Habakkuk doing? He's asking questions. And he's struggling with what? With faith. He's struggling with that trust in the Lord because of what he sees going on around him. Now drop down to verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why is he asking that question? It's because the Lord has just told him that he's going to bring the Chaldeans or the Babylonians through to punish and judge his people. And Habakkuk doesn't understand that. He does not get how that can be. God, you're holy, you're pure. How can you use these wicked, violent pagans to do this or accomplish this purpose or plan of yours? So Habakkuk is struggling, and he's struggling with what he sees going on around him in light of who he knows that God is. Now, why is that important to us? It's important because we do the same thing, right? We find ourselves in the exact same situation where we are struggling with, as we have talked about before, we are struggling with understanding. We do not understand what God is doing or why he is doing it in the way that he is doing it. And you say, Pastor, you're a broken record on this. You've hit this point many times in Habakkuk. I know. Let's hit it one more time because it's really important. Because someone will say, yeah, I know. And then something bad happens. And what's the first thing we do? We look up and say, why, God? I don't understand. I don't understand why you're doing this or why you are allowing this. Well, Habakkuk is struggling with understanding, and thus he's struggling with faith because of what God is not doing and because of what God has said he will do. And we do that same thing, do we not? What are some things that you struggle with? You struggle to understand, or you don't understand. Maybe you've said, I don't get it. I don't understand how God can be good and yet this. Or I don't understand how this can be true and yet I see this particular thing in life. What are some examples of that? You don't have to get too personal. You can be general. What are some things that happen that we look at and we struggle with understanding and thus with faith in God? Sickness. Yeah. Sickness. That's a big one. Is it not? I mean, everything's fine if you're feeling good and you don't have any pain. But for some of you, you go through pain and you deal with pain. And you might be struggling here. You might be struggling to some degree with, God, I don't understand why you allowed this. I don't understand why other people are healthy and I'm not, and I'm struggling with this disease. I mean, has that thought ever occurred to you? Why did I get this disease or this affliction and this person over here didn't, even though they don't care about God. They're not interested in Jesus at all. But yet I'm trying to follow the Lord, and here I am afflicted, and you struggle with that. Yes, I think we do. I think that's true. What else?
Finances.
God, why don't I have more money? No, none of you would ever ask that question. God, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? And what are we struggling with there? We're struggling with understanding and faith. Okay? Yeah, why am I having such a hard time? My family growing up. Now, from one perspective, we were fine. We were doing really well. From another perspective, another angle, my mom and dad really struggled financially and were worried a portion of the time about where was the money going to come from to pay the bills and take care of things. And perhaps you can relate to that. And you might want to ask God, why is it this way? Why are you allowing this? Why am I in this situation? Yeah, good. What else? What other things happen in life that bring us to this place of struggle? Yeah. Okay. Yep. Unanswered prayer. Well, that's right here in Habakkuk, right? Verse 2 of chapter 1. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Why aren't you listening, God? Why aren't you doing anything about what I'm asking you for? Now, surely you know, if you ask God for the red Ferrari and he hasn't answered that, you probably already know why you're not getting an answer to that. I assume you're talking about asking things according to God's will, right? And it is God's will for us to pray for the salvation of our lost friends, family members, and neighbors. That is what God wants us to do. And so why doesn't God act? Well, he doesn't do things in our time, in our way, and so we struggle because we don't get it. We don't understand it. Yes. What else? Death. Yeah, death will sober you in a unique way, cause you to really think about things, question certain things, maybe question your life and what you're doing, and really make you think hard and deep about what you believe and where your trust in God is. Yeah, sure, absolutely. For some people, you know, they might be going along just fine in their Christian life, and they think, hey, I'm fine, things are going well, and then a loved one dies, and now suddenly everything's up in the air. And now we've got all sorts of questions about whether God is good, whether his plan is good, why did my loved one suffer and die, etc. Yep, so that can be hard. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure. You know, we could say tragedies. That's a big one too, right? For Habakkuk, it is a tragedy to see the Babylonians come through and kill his people. That's a tragedy of a very high order for him. And so he's struggling. Well, we do the same thing when suffering or bad things happen. A child dies, a loved one dies, someone is suffering physically or what have you. We ask these questions and we struggle with understanding and with faith. Todd, were you going to add something? And again, that's Habakkuk. Because what God has told Habakkuk is, I'm going to deal with the situation of sin and injustice in Israel. And how I'm going to deal with it is I'm going to bring violent pagans. I'm going to bring violent idol worshipers in here to destroy, to take captive, and pillage and plunder. And so Habakkuk's like, whoa, hang on. You know, and as we talked about before, we illustrated before, that's like us saying, God, America is evil, is wicked. There's abortion, there's this, there's that. God, do something about it. And God says, okay, I will. I'm going to bring the North Koreans in to run roughshod over America and to reduce it to rubble. We probably might say, wait a second, that's not quite the plan I had in mind. So let's roll this thing back a minute and let's see what else we can do. So you see the struggle. Yeah, because we see evil men and evil governments doing wicked things and we wonder why God allows that. David? Yeah, sure. Yeah, God, what possible good could come from Joseph Biden, Nancy Pelosi, etc.? Perhaps you've wondered that. Right. Perhaps you've wondered that. Okay, so what do we do then? Okay, we could go on all night, right, with all of these things. What do we do in light of all these things? Well, I'll tell you what some people do is they reject God. They abandon God. That is not what the righteous one does. The righteous one lives by faith. He is willing to continue to believe God and trust God in spite of a lack of understanding. And as we talked about before, Anselm's famous dictum, fides quaerens intellectum, faith seeking understanding. This is where we start. This is where we continue. This is how we live. We live by faith, by trusting in God. And what that means is when you don't get it and you're in a dark place, you're in a place where you've got lots of questions and things don't make sense, you keep trusting Him. That's what you do. It is as if, on one level, the Lord says to the prophet Habakkuk, just trust me. And is that not what God says to you? And to me, over and over again. God, why? And He says, trust me. Believe me. Take my word as true and trustworthy and wait. Wait for it to be fulfilled. Live by faith. That's what we are supposed to do. And we see so many examples of this in the Bible, like Abraham that we've talked about before. God made a promise to Abraham, and according to what Abraham could see, this isn't working out the way I think it should work out. And so we're going to take Hagar. I'm going to bring Hagar into the picture. And then what do we have? We have a mess. Well, God's word was going to be fulfilled. And what Abraham needed to do was believe it and be patient and wait for the fulfillment of that and continue to live by what? To live by faith. Because that's how the righteous man, the righteous woman lives. They lack understanding. Yes, all the questions didn't get answered. But we still believe. We live by our trust in the Lord and in His word.